one of the passages in the Bible about not being anxious or in care about things going on like food and raiment that you might need is in Matthew chapter 6. Listen to this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So our church, business, personal, spiritual lives are all to be advanced with these two great thoughts in mind. The glorification of God's name and the knowledge that his kingdom or reign with Christ will come. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice, and henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And then in Revelation 11, verse 15, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. The reign of Christ starts when you believe upon him in your heart. The reign of Christ continues practically as you yield control of yourself to the Holy Spirit and not to your fleshly nature. If you're fulfilling the will of the Father, you're not fulfilling the will of your flesh. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Satan rules the kingdom of spiritual darkness, even the hearts of every religious person who has not believed on the coming King of Glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. One reason God the Son left the glory of heaven and came to earth to be born as a man, live a sinless and perfect life, and die on the cross was in order to pay for our sins. Another big reason was to destroy the works of the devil and draw us back close to him. Satan dethroned God in the hearts of men in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve believed his lies and they ate of the forbidden fruit. So then sin entered the human race right there, and it's implanted in every human heart. But Christ came to restore the glory of God as the true God in the hearts of men through the gospel of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is the truth that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He was buried for 3 days. He was dead. And then he came back to life again. He arose from the dead. Romans 10, 9 through 13. If you personally will confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You're agreeing this is the way to be saved from your sins. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed when you stand before God. Hallelujah. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Y'all get saved the same way. For the same Lord over all is rich or abundantly in grace to all that will call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In the Revelation chapter 4, the church has been raptured. In chapters 5 through 11, the tribulation, 7-year tribulation period starts. And in chapters 11 through 19, the great tribulation, the last 3.5 years, or the greater trouble starts. We pick up in Revelation chapter 11. Take your Bible and turn there if you will, please. Revelation 11. We've just witnessed some of the most frightening scenes of demons being released from the bottomless pit. They have long hair like a woman, teeth like lions, bodies like horses, tails like scorpions. For 5 months they're allowed to torment those rebelling against God and Christ. Then these two great witnesses are sent down from heaven, and they're allowed to preach the gospel of the King Jesus, And for those resisting, they can breathe out fire to destroy their enemies, or they can send forth floods of water out of their mouths to drown them. They can hold back rain. That's why I believe the two witnesses are Moses and Elijah sent down from heaven, because that's what they had power to do while they walked on the earth. Elijah, you remember two times when the soldiers came after him from the king. Oh, man of God, come down from the mountain. We command you. The king said, he said, if I am a man of God, as you say, let fire fall from heaven and consume you. Boom, they were gone. It happened again. Boom, they're gone. Then the third captain of soldiers came up and said, oh, Elijah, man of God, please have mercy on my soul. I know you're a man of God. Could you please come and talk to the king? Therefore, God, because there's proper respect to the prophet, he said, don't do my prophets any harm. He went with him and spoke with the king. And then Moses was allowed by God to send out those plagues into Egypt. And therefore, that's why I think Moses is the other witness. That's the very same things they're going to be doing in the tribulation period. We find this out, by the way, true today in Law and Order. Subdue the ones leading the rebellion, and it will help the weak-willed followers to repent. Let me say that again. Subdue the ones leading the rebellion, and it will help the weak-willed followers to repent. How many of you know people just follow any old thing because they're looking for some cause to follow, even if it's a wrong cause? By the way, thank God that our president rose up and said, this reforming of America by those who hate America, going back and discrediting our founding fathers, we're going to put an end to that. Signed into law, we're going to go back and get some true education about how this nation was founded. Like when, amen, just like when George Washington said, how can a president govern properly without the word of God? Can I get an amen there? Isn't that the truth? How true it is. Every ordained thing that God has brought to pass will collapse unless we go back to the word of God. That includes government, church, marriage, on and on. It goes back to God. God sets these things up for the good of man and for his glory. And if government doesn't obey God's will, for instance, the slaughter of the innocents in the womb, we're to resist those orders. All God's people say, amen. We have a higher commander, a higher king. He's the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords. He has a right to reign in every nation and in every heart. But these two witnesses are allowed to be put to death. And they lay in the street in Jerusalem, spiritually called Sodom in Egypt, where Christ was crucified. That's Jerusalem. This is last week's message. And they throw a party, a celebration. These two witnesses of God tormented us in our sin, and men's hearts got harder and harder, but then some of them repented. And so we looked at that last week. Some repented and gave glory to God after 7,000 of those who were leading the rebellion were put to death. Many people believed in the Lord Jesus Christ there in the tribulation period when the greater trouble had started. This is the seventh trumpet that is blown. Woes are in it. And then the seventh trumpet, there are seven bowls. And you know what you do with bowls, right? Everything that you planned, you thought was going to go your way, God just turns it upside down. How many of you ever had your plans that way? God just took the thing and turned it right upside down. Oh, it's going to go exactly this way. Oh, yeah, let me just turn that thing upside down. God has some very unusual ways, doesn't he, folks? And God knows how to get our attention. How many of you know God knows how to get our attention? I'm all right with God getting my attention. I try to give God my attention every day. I don't want to walk away from God. I want to walk to God. We only have two choices. Witnessing to the basketball guys on the court the other night. I said, fellas, got to give the gospel twice, praise the Lord. I said, two different games, obviously. And I said, fellas, you only have two choices. You can go toward God in life or go away from God. I said, now my point guard last year is in jail right now for dealing drugs. It was dead silent in there. I said, I tried to tell you guys, you got to give your lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you are probably going down that road right now. Boy, it was quiet in there. And you know what? I say this because I love you. I say this because I love you. And it's true. Somebody has to speak up and tell the truth to people. If you know the truth, it'll set you free from all the lies of the devil. That's why you got to stay in the Word, so the Word will stay in you. Hope you like that one too. So the Antichrist, this beast by character, he's called, is allowed to kill him. Their bodies are laying in the street for 3.5 days. Moses and Elijah, I believe, as I said. And there the world's celebrating and throwing parties and giving gifts and getting drunk and fornicating. LGBT and who knows what you want to be is all over the place. This isn't a joke. They're leading the rebellion because they're, Romans chapter 1, have no desire to glorify God. That's the problem. What happens when a nation starts moving away from God, and boy, we were moving away from God hard, and I think the ship's turning around a little bit here. Amen? Amen. What you have is a sexual revolution, don't care. Then you have a homosexual revolution. Then you have people having sexual changes that they don't believe. A man doesn't believe he's a man anymore. He might think he's a woman. I mean, they actually start believing this. That's called a reprobate mind. And that's where we're at in our culture. So you're going to have to stand up in love and tell the truth. And if you don't like, I mean, what Pastor Long says about the truth here, I'll just stop preaching. Anybody? Are you tired of it? I mean, it's hard standing up for the truth. When you have a pastor like John MacArthur stands up for the truth, God said assemble together, we're going to assemble together. Then you got these blogs, these brainiac pastors cutting him down and insulting him. You get kind of tired of that when you're a minister. But you know what? That's what God said. That's what I'm standing on. All God's people say, amen. Amen. So just as Christ prophesied that he would come, he came 2,000 years ago, he prophesied he'll come again. So while all this is going on, this rebellion's going on, these two witnesses lying in the street 3.5 days, all of a sudden, you know, finger twitches, little blinking of the eye, leg bends, they set up, they stand up, all the world, the entire world is able to watch them. Remember I told you about that 5G, everybody can see. Well, that power. They slowly ascend up into the clouds, and all the world's going, because they keep looking at him. Every time they look at him, they're, woo, they're dead. Yeah, we got rid of those Christian preachers of the truth about Christ's kingdom coming on the earth. You know, Satan's a rebel, folks. He knows he's lost, but he's just going down. He's like a snake with his head cut off and still wiggling around. Anybody ever been on a farm, by the way? You ever heard of a, you know, seen a chicken with his head chopped off? How many of you don't want me talking about this? Okay, great. A chicken with a head chopped off. What does a chicken do? He just lays down there. Huh? He runs around flapping and, you know, stuff's flying everywhere. And there's his head laying on the ground. But that old body's just going all over the place. That's Satan to me. He knows he's lost. He got crushed on the cross. Amen? That's what the heel of Christ did. But he's not going down easy. He's already lost. If you place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you won over sin, death, and hell. Somebody say, amen. Amen. Now, in the midst of wars, broken, burning fireballs like stars falling from the heaven, hitting the earth, plagues all over the place, deadly diseases from animals spreading all over the earth, massive earthquakes, hail falling from the sky, fire on the ground, blood in the water, a release of some of the strongest and most destructive demons, John's allowed to see the glories of heaven. And that's what you see in this passage today. He gets to see the future glorious reign of Jesus Christ and his promise that every believer will get to experience the exceeding great joy of Jesus' personal presence as Almighty God with almighty power and the glory of God. You're going to see it for yourself. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when by his grace I shall look on his face. that will be glory, be glory for me. I just go through Walmart singing that sometimes. Oh, that will be. Here he comes. Everybody's singing their garbage, right? Why can't we sing the truth? Today's message, Revelation 15 through 19, thy kingdom will come. Yes. Revelation 11, 15 through 19. Today, gracious Heavenly Father, cause our hearts to be stirred with the truth, believe it, to live it, look forward to it. And like John the Apostle, may we see ourselves looking into the future as though it was happening now. In Jesus' name, amen. The revelation, the apocalypse, means to pull back the curtain and show you what's going to happen. That way, if you study this book, the Bible says there's a special blessing. What's a blessing? You're going to know what's going to happen in the future in heaven and on earth. That's the blessing. And you ought to be prepared for it. And you ought to be preaching it. You ought to be proclaiming it. And you ought to be living like it's going to happen, because it is. Revelation 11, 15. The future kingdom reign of Christ is seen here as being so certain that it has already come. Now, has it already come, by the way? No. But he's showing us in the future at this point as though it will come. You know, you got to wait to the end of the book when it actually comes. But God's done this several times. Step back from what's happening, opened up what's going on in heaven, and you see the people rejoicing there. By the way, every time one person places their faith in Jesus Christ, Luke 11, 15, all of heaven starts rejoicing. They start praising God. God, you saved another one. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and riches and power and might, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure, thy were and are created. Salvation belongs unto our God. Doesn't belong to anybody else. Salvation's of the Lord. You don't save yourself. Don't try to be a good person. Maybe God will accept you one day. Admit you're a sinner. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you'll be saved. It's the hardest part. You've got to get them lost before you get them saved. I want to be like that evangelist on George Street that we learned about last week. Sometimes we don't see fruit very soon, do we? This guy gave out gospel tracts for 40 years, never heard of one positive salvation experience. Till 40 years later, when two ministers came to his house, come to find out, they added it up. 146,000 people had been influenced by this little one man giving out those gospel tracts. Sir, do you know you died today, you'd go to heaven or go to hell? Ma'am, he was a soldier, Navy man. Had those connections. 2 weeks after the ministers came, one of them was teaching evangelism to 1,000 chaplains in the Navy. This little man, Frank Gennar, tears coming down his face. He's 74 years of age. Got cancers that eat up his body. Could die at any day. They tell him about all these stories, all these connections, and how God was bringing these things together. I never heard of one positive somebody trusted Christ through all my witness in all these years. 2 weeks later, he died. We may not see it before we die. We may not die at all. It might be the rapture. Thy kingdom will come. I hope you're looking forward to it. When that man entered heaven, I got to tell you, so-and-so is going to be standing there. Hey, yeah, you did this, you did that. You talked to that person. This person talked to that person. This talked to that other person. And it all started with you just handing out a gospel tract. God doesn't call us to save people, by the way. Did you know that? He calls us to be faithful. He does the saving. One plants, another water. God's the one who gives the increase. I'm not even going to get through this message. I'm so excited about the truth today. Better go to verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And my daughter Maria is thinking right now, Dad, just stay with the message. You're never going to get through. Okay. Here, the future kingdom reign of Christ as seen as so certain as though it's already happened. John is standing there and he's enjoying it and it hasn't happened yet. And he's getting to view it as they call in real time. Wow. What do you mean they have become Christ's? Aren't they already under Christ's personal rule? And the answer is no, they're not. The kingdoms of unbelieving men are under Satan's reign, and he is actually ruling their hearts. When Jesus came to earth, Satan offered Jesus the kingdoms of the earth if Jesus would only bow down and worship him as God. Jesus could have skipped the cross. Let us die in our sins and let evil reign forever on the earth. But he didn't do it. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah! What a Savior. Somebody asked me to sing a few specials. I got through three or four in today, so now we can go on. How did Jesus respond to Satan's solicitation to sin? Matthew 4:8 through 10. Just listen. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give you if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. That's a good thing to say to Satan, by the way. Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. Go back to the Bible. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Satan means adversary, or one who resists the authority of God and willfully disobeys. Devil means slanderer or accuser. In chapter 9, verse 11, he's called the destroyer or the destroying angel. What is he trying to steal from believers at times and keep unbelievers from doing? The answer is having faith in God and in Christ. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible reveals to us that God has let Satan be the ruler of this world. This present time, he's called the God of this world. And he's blinded the minds of them which believe not. They've got a spiritual blindfold on their hearts. He says we need to pray this. Let the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. That's what we should be praying. We don't preach how good we are ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, we're just servants for you for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that's in creation when he said light, and there was light. Same God has shined in our hearts to give the light or the knowledge of the glory of God in the face or the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the glory of God. God has allowed Satan to rule in the hearts of men since the Garden of Eden, so that all of us were born into sin and we choose to sin by nature. We need to be born again and brought into the family of God. We enter into Christ's kingdom spiritually when we believe the gospel. Satan's kingdom is a rebellious desire to rule over men, whereas Christ wants to rule in men. See, because if you have the heart, you got everything else. Hey, listen, if our children just going to obey on the external pressures, when they leave, they won't obey God. We want the heart. That's why I try to tell them, you can leave home, you're going to leave home, this and that. But listen, you take your heart with you and God's there. It's up to you what you do now. I've raised you for the glory of God. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are we going to do? Are we going to go away from God in trouble, or are we going to go to God? We need to go toward God. Kingdoms here are actually one kingdom listed, and they're all one. One kingdom. Who is the ruler? Satan is. That means all the world, diverse nationally, politically, socially, culturally, linguistically, All the religious groups are in reality one kingdom under one king, and that king is Satan. Wow. That's what sin does. Sin ruins stuff, doesn't it, folks? The king, and known in Scripture by his names and titles, including these, are the Accuser, Revelation 12:11; the Adversary, 1 Peter 5:8; Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies, Matthew 12:24; Belial, 2 Corinthians 6:15; the Dragon, Revelation 12:3; the Evil One, John 17:15; the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4; the Prince of the Power of the Air of Darkness, Ephesians 2:2; the Roaring Lion, 1 Peter 5:8; the Ruler of Demons, Matthew 3:22; the Ruler of this world, John 12:31; that old snake, the serpent, Revelation 12:9; the Tempter, don't you love that guy? To tempt us to evil, 1 Thessalonians 3:5; and the most common names are the devil and Satan. Satan already tried to form a one-world government and a one-world religion at the Tower of Babel, Genesis 11:1-9. He already tried to do it. If I believe personally, somebody said, I just want you to stop talking about politics and applying the Bible. Listen, I'm just going to be Joel Long, used of God for what God wants me to do. And anybody wants to stay along for the ride, come on. That's all I know to be. I can't be somebody else. It's just me. And I understand that it is a wicked thing to try to form a one-world government and a one-world religion. So if I've got two choices and one wants to take me right into a one-world government, I'm not voting for that candidate. I just leave it to you to figure it out. Let's move on. Satan already tried to form this one-world government, and God tore it down. Therefore, we got different languages in, so that man can't communicate so easily toward one another for the purposes of advancing wickedness. After the rapture of the church, Satan will get his wish temporarily, by the way. Did you know that? After we're called out, the believers are called up into heaven, Satan is going to get his one-world government and one-world religion just for a short period of time. That's Revelation 13. We'll get there temporarily. I mean, temporarily he'll have that. We'll get there eventually, I hope. Not unless the rapture takes place, and then whoever's left can read it for yourself. Because I'm going. If he calls up the church, I'm going. Why? Because his word says so. I'm not looking for the undertaker, by the way. I'm looking for the uppertaker. And if the undertaker does come and get me, I'm going to be up there anyways. When God ordained human government for the well-being of man, there are some Romans 13:1. There are some governments refuse to submit to him and acknowledge his sovereignty, Acts 4:26. They actually can be used of Satan to advance Satan's kingdom by killing, that's murder, by stealing, thefts of others' personal property, or destroying, that's a general sense and desire to destroy anything somebody else has built. That's a work of Satan. John 10:10, the character of Satan, he's called a thief. He comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Which is exactly what Antifa's doing right now in America. I call it what it is. You call it whatever you want. I come that they might have life, Jesus said, and they might have it more abundantly. Won't it be a glorious day when Jesus is sitting on the throne? When this seventh trumpet blows at the start of the great trouble or great tribulation, the last 3.5 years, we step back and we get to see the future day when all of heaven and God's creation rejoice at Christ's coming to sit down on the throne in Jerusalem. The power of Satan will ultimately end. He will be broken and his curse will be lifted from all creation. There will be one great celebration of Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We will be saying, Hallelujah, which means praise ye the Lord. Will you praise the Lord personally? Praise him now. Lord means sovereign over all, referring most often to the Father in the book of Revelation. Christ is the anointed one. Very quickly again, Jesus is, his name is, his personal name is Jesus. He's Lord, ruler over all, and he's Christ, which means the anointed one. As the anointed one, the three offices in the Old Testament were prophet, priest, and king. He had to be anointed with oil for that particular work. Well, Jesus is all of those. He is the anointed one. He's the prophet, he's a priest, and a king. Only one, Jesus. So that means he's the only one that could have been chosen by God to do that work. He's the anointed one. Old Testament prophets predicted Jesus' future reign, Daniel 7:13-14. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came in the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before me, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. That's Jesus Christ. Isaiah 9:6-7, you're familiar with this. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be his punished shoulder. I already read this before. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. He will sit on the throne of his father David. He'll sit on their kingdom. He'll order it. He'll establish it. He'll rule with justice. The zeal, the passion of God, the jealousy of God, of the Lord of hosts, that's the angelic host, will make sure this takes place. That's what it means. When the Prince of Peace reigns fighting against all the nations, we'll cease. When Jesus is on the throne, you're going to have real peace. Pictured slightly in Solomon, by the way, when God gave him peace all around, Shalom, gave him the peace all around the nation, just for a short period of time. That's a foretaste of the glory divine. Micah predicts, chapter 4:1-3. But in the last days, that's where we're at now, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains. It shall be exalted above the hills, talking about Jerusalem, and people shall flow to it. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob or Israel. And he will teach us his ways. We will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth out of Zion, that's spiritual Jerusalem there, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares. Now they're farming. Weapons of war, now we're going to plow the field with them. Their spears into pruning hooks. Picking up hay, stuff like this. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Why? Because Jesus is reigning. Who wants to fight when Jesus is on the throne? By the way, what two people want to fight when Jesus is sitting on the throne of their hearts? Wow. Think about that. Back to Revelation 11:16. Revelation 11:16. And the 24 elders and sat down before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshiped God. Again, these elders represent the raptured church in Revelation 4, 1 Thessalonians 4. What number do you need to remember? Just the number 4. Worship means to ascribe the highest worth or value to something or someone. What's the most precious thing that you ought to be in possession of? It is the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:19. We were paid for with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's the most valuable thing in my life. Is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's my highest esteem. That's my most precious gift. Look at verse 17. They will be saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Remember, John's viewing things as though they're happening right now, but they're happening in the future. Remember the prayer, Matthew 6:10, talking about looking at the birds and God supplying our need. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Here it's answered fully. The kingdom has come. We thank God for his almighty power. That's the irresistible ability to exercise and accomplish his will in the face of any and all opposition. Let me read that again. We thank God for his almighty power, the irresistible ability to exercise and accomplish his will in the face of any and all opposition. God's will is going to be done. The king's coming. Georgia played this, by the way. The song she played was 1 Timothy 1:17. Don't know if you realize it or not. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. It's true. That's what amen means. He is speaking in worship of Jesus Christ as the God-man who's coming to reign. Unto the King eternal, Jesus. Immortal, Jesus. Invisible, Jesus in His Spirit. The only wise God. Jesus ever called God? Over and over again. Be honor and glory for how long? Forever and ever. Amen. He says He, thou art, was, and is to come. That's the eternal existence of God the Father and the Son's being worshipped. That's what it means. Here Jesus is pictured as having already come and taken the seat on the throne in Jerusalem. Let me say it again. This passage that God is allowing John to see, and what we're supposed to see today, is that Jesus has come and has already taken His seat on the throne in Jerusalem, as though it already happened. Folks, Christ has a right to rule in our hearts. Satan has no right. He's a thief. He'll take everything he can from you. Satan will take everything he can from you. Look at verse 18. And the nations were what? Oh, they were so happy that God was being praised in heaven, right? Oh no, they got more angry. You know what Jesus said to some? I know why you're going away. Why? Because I told you the truth. That's why you're leaving. Wow. That's sobering. The nations were angry. Thy wrath is come in the time of the dead, and they shall be judged. And that thou shouldest give reward unto the servants of the prophets and to the saints and to them that fear thy name, small and great. Hey, you don't have to be rich. You don't have to be well known. Those are the great ones. The small ones are about an average income. Nobody hardly knows you. Who cares anyways, right? God knows us. But it's the same for everyone. And shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Angry. So while we are in heaven rejoicing, those on earth are involved in immense rage and rebellion. Rejoicing in heaven, but rage on the earth. Angry means having a deep-seated defiance against Christ's kingdom being established over the whole earth. These people are enraged and lash out to others with hatred. That's Psalm 2, by the way. We don't want Jesus reigning over us. All I see is a bunch of restrictions. I tell you what, if you see Jesus as a list of the restrictions, you don't know Him very well. He actually gives you freedom from the bondage of sin. And His commandments don't cause us grief. They're freedom. That's how you know if you've got a changed heart, by the way. I delight to do Thy will, O God. So judgments are given out to the ungodly sinners who reject the gospel, and rewards are given to believers based on their good works as believers. And that's true in the tribulation period too. The same sun that melts the wax hardens the clay. I got that statement right this time. I missed it on another message. The sun hasn't changed. It's just the reaction of people to Him, right? Jesus has a right to reign as a glorified human being over God's creation because He purchased it with His own blood. He paid the debt of man's sin. Some hate this news and get harder. Others rejoice, humbly admit their sin, repent, and turn to Christ in believing faith. Judgment on those destroying the earth, He said, is coming. By the way, doesn't refer to recycling. You know how many messages have come out of this one passage? Somebody yanked this off and said, now look, we shouldn't be using styrofoam cups. I mean, I can see that right in the passage. How many of you can see that? Anybody? Politically, you know, next Sunday I'm going to be preaching on styrofoam cups and how we need to save the world. How many of you want a message like that one? No, I didn't see any. Good. Now, that's not what it means. It's not recycling, failing to recycle that's destroying the earth. It's those refusing to repent is what's destroying the earth. Sin ruins things. So repentance and reliance on God can restore years that the cankerworm of sin has eaten in our soul. Let me say it again. Repentance and reliance on God can restore years that the cankerworm of sin has eaten in our soul. The Lord is so good, isn't He? Lord's good, and Lord's good all the time. Just wish I would have figured that out a little sooner in life. That's all right. I got it now. Look at verse 19. He gets to see the temple of God in heaven too. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of this testament. That's the ark of the covenant, the agreement. And there were lightnings and voices and thunders and an earthquake and great hail. This represents the unbroken and glorious communion with the living God. This is the manifestation of God's presence by these things moving upon the earth. The Ark of the Covenant represents God's manifest or felt continued presence. Listen, folks, this isn't empty words in a book. This is a communication from God. This is God talking to us if we're just willing to listen. Don't harden your heart like some have. You listen to God's word and let Him change you. Don't try to change God. We're not going to be referring to God as Madame or it or, you know, the power source. We're going to be calling Him God our Father. This is your politically incorrect message again today. Unbroken and glorious communion with God. Listen, all these trite things will just burn up in holy love. The ark represents God manifest or His felt continued presence and power in people's life. The covenant, the testament, means to cut. How do you think we came in this agreement? Because Jesus Christ had to be cut in order to make this agreement. The sacrifices of lamb's blood placed in the ark called the mercy seat. We're going to be seated with the King of Glory one day in honor of God by the blood and mercy of the Lamb. That's it. The ark contained 10 commandments. Christ is our law fulfiller. A jar of containing manna. Christ is our bread of life. Aaron's rod that budded. Christ is our resurrection. As we look at the Ark of the Covenant in heaven, flashes of light, God is light, voices praising God, thunder as His voice is heard in every language, earthquakes shaking the earth violently, hail, blocks of ice falling to the earth. A display of the majesty of God, His glorious throne, and the right for Jesus to be worshipped as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Satan wants us to rebel against God, believe his lies, and eternally be damned. But Jesus, the King of Glory, came to save you and is worthy to be praised. Look at verse 15 again. And the seventh angel sounded, there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. George Friedrich Handel had recently suffered a stroke when he had paralyzed the left side of his face, causing intense pain. You know about that, Greg? Your wife know about that, Greg? I thought about this. I thought about you and your precious wife. Here this man had that happen to him. Listen to this, Greg. Most days, Handel could barely afford rent and food. His health had been broken and he was discouraged and anxious about the future. Then one night he was given a folder filled with verses of scripture from a friend who was attempting to encourage Handel after this paralyzing heart attack, stroke I should say, paralyzed his left side of his face and his left arm. His friend was merely trying to encourage him to take the verses of scripture and use them to compose some new work. These verses were simply referring to the prophecies of Jesus Christ as the what? Messiah. Several hours long. George looked over them and then tossed the scriptures aside and crawled back into bed. But he couldn't sleep. He got up, went to his piano, and began to write as fast as he could. Handel was left-handed, and because of his recent stroke, his notes and script were poorly written, but he prayed and carried on. For 3 weeks, in fact, he could hardly stop to eat or sleep or even entertain visitors. Finally, after 22 days of solitude, Efren made it inside the apartment and found the composer at his piano with sheets of music strewn all over the place. George Friedrich Handel looked at his friend with tears streaming down his face and said to his friend, "I do believe I have seen all of heaven before me and the greatness of God Himself." In 1741, when the Messiah was performed in London, as they arrived at the Hallelujah Chorus, England's King George removed his crown and stood up, for in their culture, one never sat down at the presence of a superior entering the room. And that's the tradition of standing at the Hallelujah Chorus when it began. John, if you would drop our screen here, we're going to listen to the Hallelujah Chorus. Listen carefully while this is going on. Don't fail to listen. In Revelation 11:15, you hear the singing of angels. They're rehearsing the greatness of the sovereign, the singularity of His kingdom, and the certainty of His coming reign. Please stand in honor of the King and His coming reign on the earth as we listen to the last part of Handel's Messiah, "Praise Ye the Lord." Imagine this. Imagine Jesus walking up the hill, entering the city gate, walking past you in the temple court, and sitting on the throne. He is the King of glory. And all God's people say, "Hallelujah!" Let's all stand, please, in honor of the King. Tom will get it for us. Help John get it for us. I thought about this man. I thought about maybe certain discouragements he was feeling. I thought about that stroke he had. And I thought about him writing just as fast as he could as God was giving it to him. Out of Revelation 11:15. That's awesome. I can see the devil doesn't want this to go forward today. But that's okay. Just kill the screen. We won't worry about it. But listen to this. This is what I want you to think about again as we're listening to this, okay? Imagine Jesus walking up the hill, entering the city gate, walking past you in the temple court, and sitting on his throne. He is the King of Glory, and that will happen one day. Listen if you will, please.